to order, and for the record, we Senator?
Great. Thank you very much, Senator Kukesh and Senator Cowdery, Senator Elson. My name is Bill Walikowski. I represent East Anchorage, and I'm here today to present on SB 41. It is an act repealing the fee imposed on the sale of studded tires. Just give you a brief history. This bill was introduced and went into effect July 1, 2004. It set a new fee of $5 per tire on studded tires. We've since amended. There is a CS version of this bill, which has since also brought in the tax on all tires, which is $2.50. Just a real brief overview on why we think this bill is important, particularly on studded tires. This has let me take it back a step. From the small business perspective, this has had a real damaging impact on small businesses in that sell tires. We've heard a number of complaints. What this bill does is imposes a tax at the retail level. It's not like typical bills, which impose it at a wholesale level, and it's made it extremely difficult for the small business men and women out there who are actually forced to collect this income, and we've heard a lot of complaints about that. Of course, the bill also has an impact on working families. It is a bill that it does impose additional fees. And from our perspective, these are fees on the safety of people who drive cars, particularly studded tires. There is a lot of research out there which shows that on the studded tire side, that the use of studded tires actually has a beneficial, a positive impact on the Alaskan economy. There's a University of Alaska report. It's about a 159-page report, and actually it was commissioned by Senator Cowdery when he was several years ago. And what that report found was that there is a overall positive impact from the use of studded tires. They do cause some damage on the roads. However, that damage is exceeded by the savings that is incurred from the fewer accidents when people use studded tires. So there's reports from Department of Transportation that if studded tires were perhaps prohibited, there would be a significant increase in accidents that could be anticipated. So we feel this is a safety measure. This bill is supported by Governor Palin. We've passed it out of Labor and Commerce, and I would respectfully request your support on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm happy to answer any questions.
Senator Cowdery.
Yes, Senator.
Yeah, I don't know if you can answer all these, but is there a cost associated with collecting the fee now? From the state?
Is there a cost associated with collecting the fee from the state?
I
believe that there are administration people here who could perhaps answer that. I can't answer that question for you. I believe there is a small fee that is incurred from the state through collecting that cost. And according to my staffer, there is one full-time position that is pretty much solely doing this.
Will that position be eliminated if this becomes law?
You will have to ask the administration that question. I don't know the answer to that.
That's the administration I'd like.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yes, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we look at the reason it was imposed, I remember when the debate was on here, obviously the DOT was in favor of it because of the road maintenance issues that are out there, and I guess I'm having a hard time trying to understand how the road maintenance dollars that are going to be spent because of more studded tires being out there equates to a savings related to the safety. It sounds like if you have If you go ahead and save the life of another driver, that person's going to be driving. If you know, I'm in the healthcare industry, and with all due respect to those people, there are sometimes the law of diminishing returns from that.
Well, there, I'd be happy to provide you with the study. And what this study did look at was, yes, there is an additional cost that is incurred by the use of studded tires. I should know, however, that studded tire use, the technology has really increased on studded tires. And to the point where they've lowered the weight significantly. And so the damage is really not nearly what it used to be, number one. Number two is the majority of the damage that's being caused on the roads is because of a very small percentage of people who leave them on and drive in the summertime. And so I guess from my perspective, I'm looking at this, you know, we gave huge tax breaks to other industries in Alaska, and I just see this as one small way that we can give a little bit back to the working families of Alaska. And I guess we can debate, you know, how much damage this will or won't cost. If we're really truly interested in tackling the damage that's caused by studded tires, I guess what I would suggest is we look at there are other means of regulating what type of studs we allow. And the other interesting thing which came up at the last hearing we had was the impacts on urban areas versus the bush areas. I know that Senator Hoffman had expressed some concern that out in the rural areas in particular, they don't have paved roads, and so you didn't have that damage aspect. And so it was really kind of an unfair tax on people in the rural areas as opposed to in the urban areas. This University of Alaska study, it kind of looked at all the costs that are associated with studded tires and all the savings. And what it did find was, on the whole, there is a savings because you have less accidents, you have better traction, you have better braking, better acceleration. And there are a lot of state vehicles out there as well. So from a state perspective, we've got thousands and thousands of vehicles, and those vehicles are involved in a number of accidents. So there is expected that if you have those vehicles using studs, you're going to have less accidents as well, state troopers, police, and things of that nature.
If I could continue, Mr.
Yes, please,
Chairman.
Senator Olson.
Is the state paying this studded tax as well?
You know, that's a good question. I don't see why they wouldn't. I don't know that there's an exception that would prohibit the state from paying that tax.
Well, is the administration coming up to testify?
No. We have revenue, yes.
Revenue is going to be coming up?
Online, yeah. Maybe we can ask them the question.
Sure.
Senator Cowdery?
Yeah, I remember this very well, and me and my wife differ on studded tires. She will stud her steering wheel if she could, her spare tire, everything. But I don't use studs. I use a Bridgestone Blizzax, and they, in my opinion, just as good as studs. A little bit more expensive, but you can run them year-round. I get about 3 years off the set of mine. Mm. And Costco now sells a Michelin. Oh. It's an ice tire. It's not a mud and snow, it's an ice tire. And I think there might be some other companies that make it now. But I've been an advocate of the ice tire, like the Blizzak. But that was just a little history.
Yeah. Well, I guess I don't use studs either myself. There are a number of studies out there that do show that studded tires, and there are studies in Japan and Finland and the United States that do show that there's usually a pretty significant drop in the number of accidents when you allow studded tires versus when you don't allow studded tires. In fact, there's an older study that was done in Minnesota, and for several years they had banned studded tires. They actually found that the number of accidents doubled in that period of time. I think the technology has really increased now with the Blizzax and the other studless tires, but the studies even today show that the use of studs does decrease the number of accidents that you have. It does provide a level of safety that you don't get with the studded tires. And also what it does is that the studs actually churn up the ice on the road. And so if you have cars driving without studs, it's very slick surface, whereas the studs actually kind of churn it up and make it safer for everyone. There's a lot of research on that as well.
Thank you. Yes, Senator Cowdery.
The lightweight studs we call them, I never did buy into that because there's still tungsten that hits the pavement. The only thing lightweight about these is the widget that the tungsten fits in and goes into the tire. It's not steel, it's aluminum or
casing,
light alloy material. But I still believe that there's still tungsten. As far as damage, I think there's just as much damage with a lightweight stud as a heavyweight. And I know the centrifugal force and all of that, but anyway, I'll support this bill.
Any other questions from the committee? If not, let's go to online to revenue. Joanna Bayless, is she online?
Yes, I am.
Yes. Would you like to testify on this bill?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Joanna Bale. I'm the supervisor of the Excise Audit Group in the Anchorage office, and as such, I'm the program manager for the tire fee and have been pretty much since its inception back in 2003. And I would like to confirm the testimony of Senator Wilikowski. He is absolutely correct. We have had a lot of complaints from the small business community about this fee. The primary complaint, and it is true, is that this is the only tax that the state levies which is done so at the retail sales level. All of our other taxes are either income taxes or in the excise tax arena, it's levied at the wholesale level. And probably the bigger difference there between wholesale and retail is that you have larger companies at wholesale that, you know, have lots of tax filings. They have more sophisticated systems, but the tire fee is levied at such a level that it has been confusing for a lot of taxpayers. So from that standpoint, I mean, it has been detrimental to the small businesses in the state. And just, you know, maybe one of the other things, there have been some questions. The first question that was asked was cost associated to the state. We did hire one tax technician at the time this tax went into effect. And I don't imagine that individual would actually lose their job if this is repealed, because we do have some other new taxes that are coming on. But there would be a savings of one position overall to the state. And that savings would be about $56,000 a year. The other question that was asked is whether or not the state itself pays the tire fee on state-owned vehicles. No, it does not. State and local governments are exempt from the tire fee. And one of the things I'd like to point out, and it's not really my arena, but prior to the last hearing on this bill when it was in Labor and Commerce, I talked to the Department of Transportation to find out whether or not they've used the light stud tires on state vehicles. And they said that they tried to do that after the tire fee went into effect, but they had resistance from individuals who had to drive those vehicles who felt that the heavyweight studs were actually better. I mean, those were just their personal opinions. And in fact, they said the troopers refused to use the lightweight studs. So what we have here is the state is using heavyweight studs on their vehicles. They're exempt from the tax. And we have had several complaints to our office from the business community who actually brought that to our attention. And they've complained about that, of, you know, we have to use these or we have to pay the tax, but the state and local governments don't have to. So that's kind of been problematic with this program as well.
Questions?
Does anyone have any other questions?
Yeah. Senator Olson has a question for you.
Ms. Bell, thanks for coming online and thanks for answering some of these questions. You talked about the state and local vehicles that were exempted. What about federal vehicles?
Yes, federal vehicles are exempt as well.
Okay, and what about commercial vehicles, some of these 18-wheelers and some of the other commercial vehicles that are working throughout the state?
Now, Senator Olson, those vehicles are not exempt. The exemption is given based on whether or not you're state, federal, or local government.
And just confirm with me, ma'am, if you would, that the administration is in support of this?
Yes, the administration is in support of repealing the tire fee in its entirety.
And if you have the figures, can you give me the amount that was taken in last year or whenever the first full year of the implementation of this tax?
The first full year was in fiscal year 2005, and we brought in approximately $1.5 million. And in fiscal year 2006, it was about $1.6
million. And with that, Mr. Chairman, if I could, and with that, the governor has stated that she's going to be cutting $150 to $200 million and has a budget coming out the 1st of March. It just seems like there is going to be added pressure on some of the other departments without the extra $1.5 million that's going to be taken away with this. What are the plans to go ahead and make up for that shortfall?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a question I don't have any knowledge of, and I'm unable to answer. I'm not sure if Jerry Burnett from the Department of Revenue is there at this hearing, and whether or not he would be able to answer that question.
He is not here.
Okay.
One last question, Mr. Chairman. You talked about the tax technician is not going to be eliminated or released from her duties there, and so we're not going to be saving anything at the employee level. I wasn't aware that there were going to be new taxes imposed. Or are you at liberty to go and tell us what they are?
Well, we did have, by the ballot initiative, too, the cruise ship passenger tax, and there are requested positions there. If that's approved, then that one individual would take one of those positions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cowdery?
Yeah, the sponsor, Bill Wilkoski, Senator Wilkoski, mentioned something about the damage it does to the asphalt and the road. And we've been involved in this a number of years, and the problem is the mix that they're using to make asphalt with. There's a study in Fairbanks that we've had ongoing, and in Diamond Boulevard, when the last time they paved that, within a week after it was paved, there was ripples in the road, say at Arctic Boulevard, where the people came to a break, and when they took off on the other side, they kicked up ripples, and it's to do with the mix, and we had a study done in Fairbanks that I hope the DOT will follow up on. We should ask that in our DOT subcommittee.
For sure.
About changing the mix. The mix that they're using all over the states is a formula that they develop here, and I think each area of the state probably is a little different. And so that's more of a comment than I'll get up to speed on it when we get to your committee.
Okay. Just a comment that I have on that. Isn't that the Spaceship Columbia syndrome? It goes to the lowest bidder and those are the ones that get it?
Yeah. And no, it's not that. It's not really the fault of the contractor because DOT puts out the spec.
Oh, I see.
And so, you know, they just do it according to spec, even knowing perhaps that it could be a better way to do it.
Okay. Joanna, do you have more to add?
No, I'm finished. Thank you.
Are there any other questions for Joanna? If not, thank you for being online tonight. We'll go to Greg Witschick from Alaska Tire World. Are you online?
Hello. And
Would you state your name for the record, please?
Greg Witschick.
Did you want to testify? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay, would you please go ahead?
You know, on this tire tax fee, I've been looking around and I've been collecting this tire tax fee from customers and I've been submitting it to the state. The whole entire system was really hard for us to use. I am a small business. I am not a big business. I'm a local tire shop and I do automotive repair. And this stuff was very hard for me to use. I spent a lot of time learning to use the State of Alaska online payment system. This thing cost me a lot of time, and it makes me late for paying my taxes because I have to compile all this information. It's been a big burden in numerous ways to my customers. They really, when they bring in tires, I offer a service called restudding. That's where I take your tires that have wore out studs, I drill a brand new hole, and I shoot a brand new stud in there. Now, they don't understand why they should have to pay a tax for that. And, you know, to be honest with them, I don't either. But it's pretty hard to tell people that I have to collect taxes because of the state of Alaska. That's what I do. Then they do not like to hear that. We're taxing the people who are trying to be safe on our roads. That's the everybody, you know, all your mom, dad, your sisters, your brothers, we're taxing ourselves. And I just don't understand why we need more taxes in this state. I understand we need revenue, but, you know, here we are taxing ourselves. I mean, are we going to tax water next? It's just, it was very frustrating for me to get up to speed with this system. And it was very hard to understand how it all worked and to to comply with all everything. It was a real burden for me and my staff. And there was a lot of late nights spent trying to figure out all this stuff. Can I answer any questions for you guys?
Any questions, committee? Senator Olson.
Mr. Wichick, where are you located at?
I'm in Anchorage off of Dowling Road, sir.
Okay. There was a comment made that this is the only tax that's levied at the retail level. What's the difference between that and, say, a city sales tax? I know they don't have one in Anchorage, but you have communities throughout the state that have taxes levied at the retail level as well.
Yeah, you know, that is true. Down in Kenai, Saldana, and other areas, they do have a sales tax. We do not. What's the difference? I haven't experienced that tax, and I have not collected that tax, so I can't honestly answer that question, sir.
And
go ahead, Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, I'm a small businessman as well, and one of the concerns I have when you start dealing with taxes that are fairly confusing, like this one tends to be, is that the penalties that are associated with us with it because of the confusion. Sometimes there's inadvertent omissions. Have you been subjected to that part of the bureaucrats coming after you?
Yes, sir. When we first started collecting this tax, I did not get it in on time. I did pay a penalty, and eventually I went to the Department of Revenue and we sat down and we figured it all out, and my penalties were paid because in my confusion to figure this thing out, I had overpaid the tire tax. And so it took me and my staff and Department of Revenue and their staff to figure all this out. Once again, you know, that's all time and energy and effort, and that all cost me and the state money.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Senator Cowdery?
Yeah, did you have, when you collected this tax, did you get a percentage of what you collected, or did you have to?
You know, if you put it in on time, there is something about 5%. Yeah, here it is. A sailor is titled 5% of the amount collected to cover expenses associated with collecting the tax.
Oh, I see.
I am on state of Alaska, and I'm reading about the tire tax and additional. Yeah, they would give you 5% if you did it in a timely manner.
Excuse me, I'll be right back.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for the gentleman? If not, thank you for your testimony, unless you have more to offer.
You know, I think we shouldn't tax ourselves additionally to what we need. I mean, if we saw that this money was going directly to the roads, you know, that would be one thing. But I think it just goes into the general fund and it's used for everything. I just don't understand why, and I've never understood why we want to tax ourselves more.
Okay, thank you very much. I don't have anybody else online. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to testify? If not, you want to move back up here so we can have a committee? Is that just the two of us? Okay, with that, I'll close public testimony. And is there any comments from the members of the committee? Senator Wilikowski?
Motion? Mr. Chair, I think this is a good bill.
Uh-huh. I assumed you did.
I just like to comment on one thing. I don't believe that Governor Palin has actually included these receipts in her current budget. So if there are concerns, I know there are concerns about decreasing revenue, but my understanding is the governor has not included the receipts of this in her current budget.
Okay, thank you. If not, I'm ready for a motion. Senator Cowdery.
Yeah, I move that we move Senate Bill 41. Is that right? Yes.
Yes.
to the next committee a referral, ask for individual recommendations, and it has a zero fiscal note.
Okay, there's a motion. Is there an objection to movement? Hear no objection, then we will move that bill to the next committee of referral. Thank you very much, and we have a document to sign. Yes, he is on the committee. We'll take a brief pause here for us to sign the committee. Bill before us is the Board of Marine Pilots, Senate Bill 15. Senator Terrio.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Senate Bill 15, as is drafted before you, is a simple bill to extend the Board of Marine Pilots for the suggested term of 8 years to the year 2015, which was the suggestion from the auditors. From our independent audit shop. My default generally in dealing with these sunset audits is to put the recommendations of the auditors on the table, get those on the table through the introduction of legislation at the suggested extension from the auditors. If in our deliberation through the committee process we determine that there are things that should be added to the bill or that the suggested extension is longer than we believe is sensible, you know, going to a different term for the extension, you know, I certainly am open to, but I like the default, the starting point to be the suggestion that comes out of the audit shop. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I believe that all of your bill packets should have contained a copy of the audit report. We do have the auditor, Pat Davidson, is here with us today. There were a number of things that the audit shop has been watching with regards to the operation of the board, with regards to ongoing drug testing, random drug testing of the Marine pilots that Ms. Davidson might have some comments to. Plus, there are representatives here from the different pilot associations. So with that, if you have questions for me, I'll try to answer them, or if you'd like to get to the testimony from the other individuals, whichever you would prefer.
Thank you. Are there questions of the committee? Senator Cowdery?
Yeah, how long is this always been an eight-year extension, or has it been a less time in the past?
Senator Cowdery, in the past, I believe the suggestions for the extensions on the sunsets was a shorter period of time. There was a decision by the legislature a couple years ago, and Ms. Davidson, I'm sure, will be able to tell you exactly when the legislature determined that the frequency that most of the sunset reviews came up with were coming up was probably shorter than it needed to be. We had gotten to a point where in order to get the best bang for the buck out of the audit shop, we ought not to be having them redo audits quite so often, especially when you know, review after review showed that the suggestion were that the sunset should be extended. So at that time, the legislature changed the statute, I believe it was, that allowed the audit shop to suggest a longer period of time. And, of course, that is a suggestion if, on a case-by-case basis, we determine that the default of suggested 8-year extension is not what we want to do. Our ability to make a policy call to have a shorter period of time is certainly preserved.
Okay, thank you. Other questions of the committee members? If not, we'll go to public testimony. We don't have anybody online, but we have some individuals in the audience, I believe, who want to testify. Rick Urien, Director of Business. If you'd like to.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, my staff handed me a note. I may have been mistaken. I think perhaps the audit actually suggested 6 years, and I went with the longer term of 8, but we'll get that clarified when Ms. Davidson testifies.
Okay, good. Thank you. Rick, state your name and your affiliations for the record, if you would, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Rick Urien, and I'm the Director of the Division of Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing, and I'm here today to testify in favor of Senate Bill 15.
Okay.
The Board of Marine Pilots has gone through its audit period. There were a number of suggestions came out of the auditors. Those suggestions have all been addressed appropriately. We think they provide a valuable service, and the board should be continued.
Thank you. Any questions of the committee members for the testifier?
No, I said enough.
Okay. If not, thank you very much for your testimony. We have Pat Davidson, who's just here to answer questions. And if not, if we'll just wait, hold on for you, and we'll go to Paul Fuse. Is he in here? And he said if he wasn't here, he was fine. He was testifying in another committee. Al Klo, would you state your name and affiliation for the record, please?
Thank you, Senator Kukesh. Al Klo, Deputy Commissioner of Commerce and Chair of the Board of Marine Pilots. The Board of Marine Pilots fully supports the extension of the board and appreciates the opportunity that we've had to deal with the auditors in the recent cycle. We have no opinion hard and fast one way or the other on the length of the extension. It's the pleasure of the deliberative bodies, so I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions? If not, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go back to the, you might want to step up and talk to us, Pat, about the length of time, if you would.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Pat Davidson, and I'm with the Division of Legislative Audit. Senator Terrio was correct that the statute changed a couple years ago, changing the suggested extension time for boards and commissions from a 4-year to an 8-year. The idea of sunset has to do with whether these entities should continue in existence. And what we had found through doing these audits again and again and again on a 4-year rotation, that we were not really addressing issues of whether they should continue or not. It's more operational efficiency issues. With regard to the Board of Marine Pilots this year, we did actually recommend less than an 8-year extension, that being a 6-year. Our concern was one of the rules that the Board of Marine Pilots has, which is very different than most occupational boards, and that is it has a role in setting rates. The board is structured that has marine pilots, they have industry members, and they have public members. And there's been some bumps in the road, I guess I'd call them, with regard to these rate-setting issues. There's issues because of the Executive Branch Ethics Act. If you're a marine pilot and there's a rate change being heard by the board and it's in your area, then you have to recuse yourself. It's a little less direct when you come to the industry members. And so you get to a point where there's not that legislative balance between industry and marine pilots. As part of the audit, we actually did a survey of both industry representatives and pilots. And while they disagreed on a lot of areas, one of the things that we found unanimous in their response was that they both wanted to see the board remain involved in the rate setting structure. It is a problem that the board is having right now. We suggested a six-year extension so that we could come back in 6 years, take a look at it, see if the board had been able to resolve some issues. In the audit, we make some recommendations, some considerations that the board may look at in terms of helping resolve that issue. But it was only the rate-setting issue that really caused us concern, and that's why we gave it a recommendation for a six-year extension.
Okay, thanks. Any questions of the committee? Well, Senator Wilkowski.
Do you support the bill at 6 years, or at 8 years, rather?
To the chairman, Senator, we as the audit group recommended 6 years, but totally acknowledge that it's the legislature's decision in terms of everything that they've heard and deciding which they prefer to have.
Thank you.
Senator Cowdery?
I haven't had a chance to read the audit. Mm-hmm. Audit, can you hit on the issues that your recommendations, were they serious or?
Certainly. To the chair, Senator Cowdery, there were three, I guess I'd call them operational issues. One of them has to do with drug testing. And I don't mean to convey that they're not having drug testing or there's any problems there. They just need to tighten up on the administration of it. They need to make sure that the number of pilots that are in the pool that are working are actually in the pool to be sampled from to have their drug tests. The results of testing need to filter back up to the board. The board is responsible for maintaining licensure. They need to make sure themselves that this process that they've delegated down to the professionals associations is working and working the way that they would like to see it. So it's more of an administrative tightening with regard to drug testing. The second issue we found was during the course of when we were looking at the operations, we were looking at about a 4-year window. And during that period, there was a vacancy in the Marine Pilot Coordinator. And what we found is that the investigations with regard to Marine Pilot issues were being delayed because of that vacancy. These are issues that need to be resolved. They need to get on those investigations right away. So the board just needs to come up with a backup plan for dealing with those issues. And then the third one, again, it's more of an operational issues. One of the things boards and commissions are tasked with is making sure that those people that they license maintain continued competency. The board has developed various ways of doing that. One of them is a performance monitoring, or what they call the peer review. And based on our survey of Marine pilots, as well as some interviews with them, they did not feel that the peer review was either useful or objective. You have a small number of pilots. You're using pilots to conduct the peer reviews. They weren't sure that this was particularly an effective way of doing it. So we just wanted to report that back to the board, let them know about it. You know, again, they're responsible for maintaining continued competency. They may want to take that into consideration when they are evaluating their process.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Ms. Davidson? Thank you very much, Senator Terry. Would you come back up and give us your thoughts on the 8 and 6 year? I know your bill says.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I probably should have paid more attention to that. When I gave instructions to my staff to originally have it drafted, I probably just instructed to go with the statutory default, which was 8 years. If the auditors feel that in the review, they had uncovered something that would warrant something less than 8, then that's probably appropriate to go with the lower number. I believe the 6 years is what the other body has in their legislation. So if there's any concern about matching up where we're headed with the bill as far as the extension, the 6 years appears to be it appears that the House is following the recommendation of the auditor, and I would feel comfortable with that, too.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Terrio, if you do change the years that are there, what's the impact going to be on the fiscal note? Will there be any?
I don't think that the fiscal note only goes out 5 years anyway, so I don't think there will be. And I think I'm sure that Ms. Davidson kept in mind, we want to be mindful of when all these audits come up and her shop tries to make suggestions so they don't all pile up on 1 year. So I think she probably took that into consideration with regards to the potential impact on the operation of her shop.
Okay. One last question, Mr. Chairman. Maybe, Senator, this is probably not the question for you, but maybe you can answer it. Is how much of the, where are the audits actually done? Are they done in-house? Are they contracted out? And if they are contracted out, of the spectrum of audits that are done over the number of years, what percentage are done in-house and what percentage are contracted out?
Thank you. Ms. Davidson can probably give you off the top of her head some pretty accurate numbers. I believe these sunset reviews are done in-house by and large. If we get to an audit request and budget and audit that requires particular expertise, sometimes an individual on the outside is brought in to either advise in the audit or perhaps do the audit itself. In some big, I forget top of my head, the one audit we have contracted out dealing with the statewide single audit, we have contracted that out. But if you want, you know, percentages of the number done in-house versus out, Ms. Davidson would be the appropriate one to ask. By and large, though, I think they're done in-house.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any other questions? If not, then Senator Terrio, you would support the committee amending the bill before us to change it from an 8-year period to a 6-year period?
Yes, yes, Mr. Chairman, I would.
If there's no objection from the committee, we'd like, if there is an objection, we'll change that then to a 6-year period. Hear no objection, then we have that change before us. What's the wish of the committee? Oh, I'm going to close public testimony now and go back to the committee for any final comments.
Mr. Chairman, have we had the Marine pilots or one of the representatives weigh in on the 6-year versus 8-year issue?
Yeah, we had a fairly good discussion with it. Paul Fuse was supposed to be here, but he's testifying in another committee right now. But
and so they have no objections?
No.
Good. That's all I care about.
I didn't hear any objection. What's the wish of the committee? It's 15.
I move that we pass Senate Bill 15 with the company fiscal notes out of this committee.
As okay. amended?
As amended.
Six years. Okay. Any objection? Hear no objection, then we'll move that committee to the next committee of referral. Thank you very much. And we'll take a few-minute break here so we can sign the... back to order, and we're going to go to Senate Bill 49, and would you please step forward and identify your name for the, and affiliation for the record, please?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Doug Letch, L-E-T-C-H. I am staff to Senator Gary Stevens, who had another important duty to do today, so asked me to step in and help explain Senate Bill 49, which is fairly self-explanatory legislation. The idea is to create a commemorative license plate celebrating Alaska's 50th anniversary as a state, which will happen in 2009. A few years back, the legislature created the Statehood Celebration Commission to organize, plan, and administer all state activities, all official state activities leading up to the anniversary of the founding of Alaska, 50 years, 50th anniversary. And in the spirit of celebrating that landmark anniversary, they are recommending that the state issue a commemorative license plate, which I gave to your aide, Mr. Chairman, and have a copy of it here if you want to get that on camera. That's the mock-up from the Division of Motor Vehicles. It's a pretty handsome-looking plate. What this is going to do, the Senate Bill 49, if passed, it'll give the Division of Motor Vehicles the statutory authority to issue this special license plate commemorating the 50th anniversary of Alaska's statehood. The division, in consultation with the Statehood Celebration Commission, did determine the design and color of this plate, so it's been a real collaboration. And in your package, you may also have seen a letter of support from Gail Phillips of the Statehood Celebration Commission, and I believe she's online. Mm-hmm. And also Mr. Bannock from the Division of Motor Vehicles is with us today. Can answer the more technical questions on how this will be done, when it'll roll out, et cetera, and when they'll issue other plates and all that. So with that, I'd close my portion of the testimony and open to any questions you may have.
Questions from the committee? Yes, Senator Wilkowski.
Zero fiscal note.
Through the chair, Senator Wilkowski, the fiscal note is being absorbed by the Division of Motor Vehicles, I believe. Mr. Bannock could explain more thoroughly how that all works, if you'd like.
Okay. Senator Cowder? No. Senator Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is there going to be an added fee for people that want to go ahead and have these commemorative plates as opposed to the regular regular renewal of the license plates?
Can we ask Mr. Bannock, please join us at the table, Senator. Just go ahead and stay seated, if you would. We'll just have another chair. Senator Olson?
Thank you, Senator.
Did you hear the question?
For the record, would you please?
I'm sorry. Sir, I'm Dwayne Bannock, today representing the Division of Motor Vehicles. Senator Olson, through the chair, yes, there can be an extra fee for this plate. I say there can be because if your car today doesn't have this license plate, but you want to display this license plate, we have a statutory provision of a $5 fee for a replacement fee. So let's say you lost your plate in the snowbank or something like that, and you went to the DMV today and you got a new set of plates, it would cost you $5. As this bill is going to be creating a new standard plate, that plate that Mr. Letch just showed us would be the plate that you get for $5.
For the question,
Senator Olson,
Germany, is there planning on being a revenue source for the state for this?
Senator, through the chair, no. Because as the standard license plate, one of the things that we talk about in vehicle registrations, oftentimes people confuse their registration fee with the license plate, when in fact the license plate itself on a standard issue plate is free. It's just the evidence that you have paid for your vehicle registration. Now, if we were talking about any of the multitude of specialty plates, then that would definitely be a different story. University plates, veteran plates, et cetera, et cetera. But as the standard issue plate, nobody pays for the standard issue plate. You get the standard issue plate when you pay for your vehicle registration.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Other questions? Senator Cowdery?
Hello, Dwayne.
Afternoon, sir.
I understand that you're still with us and you're going to be with us for another 40 years.
I'm here today and I'm pleased to be here today.
Okay.
How's that?
That's good. I talked to somebody who thought you might be around for a while.
Thank you,
anyway,
sir.
Anyway, who designed this 50th? Where did the design come from?
I'm going to give the credit to that to the good people from the Statehood Celebration Commission.
That's all I have.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Senator, perhaps I can follow up on Senator Wilichowski's question on regards to the fiscal note. It is a zero fiscal note, and the reason for that is because as the standard license plate in our regular budget request is the money to pay for license plates. So we're simply substituting one design that you're probably all familiar with, the Last Frontier design. Instead of using the money to pay for that design, the money in our budget will go to pay for that design.
Okay, well, thank you. Do you have any more to add?
That's about it, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you.
Do you have more to add?
No? No, Senator, I don't.
Thank you. We'll go into for public testimony to Gail Phillips, who's online. Are you online, Gail?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman.
Good afternoon.
I appreciate the time we shared in the House of Representatives, and it is nice to be able to visit with you again today.
And we still haven't solved subsistence, Gail.
I want to thank you and the committee for hearing our bill today and to acknowledge that Senator Olson is a member of our Statehood Celebration Commission. And you have a letter from that I have signed on behalf of the commission in your packet. I wanted to let you know that we have been working with the DMV for quite some time to develop this license plate. We ran a statewide logo contest several years ago and came up with a design for the Statehood Celebration, so we incorporated that design into the design for the license plate, and the man that designed it was an artist from Sitka. If you have any questions about this, I'd be glad to answer. I certainly hope that you will find in favor of this bill. We've spent quite a bit of time getting it to this place and feel that it will represent not only the celebration, but the, you know, this very significant event for Alaska's history.
Thank you. Any questions for Gail? Senator Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Phillips, just for a note of clarification, I don't think I'm on the commission anymore, but it's glad to see that you're still there.
Oh, I didn't know that you were.
The question that I have though is, when are these plates going to be available to the general public, and when can we anticipate seeing them on the streets to help celebrate this great anniversary?
Great, thank you. It is the intent of the commission that these commemorative plates will be the primary license plates issued by the department throughout the period of time set aside, which will begin in January 2008 and go through 2009. So these plates will be the standard issue plate for 2008 and 2009. And I don't know, maybe we can ask Mr. Bannock how soon in January they will be, I mean in 2008 they will be available.
January 2nd.
Okay, good.
Thank you. Any other questions for Ms. Phillips? No, thank you for being online today. We appreciate your testimony.
Thank you, Gail. Thank you, Gail.
Thank you very much. Yes. We'll close. Is there anybody in the public who would like to, in the audience who would like to testify? Seeing none, that we'll close public testimony. What's the wish of the committee? Senator Cowdery?
I'd like to make a motion to move this bill out with the zero fiscal notes with individual recommendations at Senate Bill 49.
Is there an objection? Seeing no objection, then we are moving this to the next committee referral. Thank you very much. We have no further business on our agenda, so we will adjourn. Thank you very much for your participation today. Thanks.